This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your people and asking for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and glorified and our lives empowered to be the witnesses that you've called us to be of your grace. Again, bless and we'll thank you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our key verse there is found in verse 18, and the title of the message is that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, the Apostle Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to believers, and so they're already saved, and this is what's important, because a lot of times people think, well, the hope of anyone would be salvation. Well, yes, that's where it starts, but for the believer is that we may know the power of God in our own personal lives that changes us and causes us to rejoice in the Lord. And that's what, listen, a lot of people think, well, this is what the church ought to be doing. It should be doing this and it should be doing the other. But listen, if the power of God is null and void in the life of his people, then we've missed the Lord, and it doesn't matter what we do. Listen, the Laodicean church was increased and filled with goods, and they thought they had need of nothing. And the Lord said, listen, you are naked, you are destitute, and you are poor, and the worst part of it is you can't even see it. And so God was saying, listen, it is Christ in your life and mine that brings the hope of God's glorification into our lives. And listen, our experience with the Lord, basically here it is, ready? Paul, not he's speaking to believers, but he wants every believer to understand what God has given to us to experience and to enjoy to the glory of God. God wants us to enjoy the promises of God. But sometimes if we're not careful, we get things kind of misunderstood or turned around. And so God is wanting us to understand how we can have the joy of God and the peace of God that passes understanding. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, remember, he said, I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to give you my peace that the world doesn't know anything about. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials, but I am going to be with you. You know what he was saying? I'm going to be the difference in your life that the world doesn't have, that the world doesn't understand. And so either, listen, let me ask you this question. Is the Word of God the truth? Is it eternal? Will it ever change? No, it won't change, right? And so do we believe it? That's the question. So when God wants us to take, to evaluate life from his word or from his perspective. A lot of times if we're not careful, people say, well, listen, I'm okay just the way I am. Is that person going to receive anything? They may have eternal life, but they're missing God to a great degree that can be enjoyed. And that's not what the Lord doesn't want us to miss out on anything. He has purposed in his will to glorify himself, that he would receive honor and glory by empowering our lives, that the world might see the witness of the joy of God and the peace of the Lord. But if that's vacant, it doesn't matter what effort we put. In fact, very little will be taking place in the lives of the believers, and probably pretty much to nothing will be taking place amongst those who don't know the Lord as Savior. We won't be that light that he wants us to be. So he says, I want you to see some things, and we have to start off in this place. Here are the thoughts this morning. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's an important truth, that we are seated together with the Lord. Then we want to take notice of God's workmanship. And then we want to take notice of this other truth, that we're made nigh, we're brought nigh by the blood of the Lord, and that he is our peace, and that also we are an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, we're going to try to move through these quickly. If we don't have time, we'll stop, and we'll pick up later. But I do want you to know these are important truths that will revolutionize and change our lives. Because we have this tendency, let me rephrase that. We have this natural tendency to not let God be our power. That's our natural tendency. So let's just maybe illustrate it like this. So, for example, ready? Let's look at the truth here. We're going to pick up in chapter 2, and I want you to see this, that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and then we'll look at our illustration. Ready? Verse 1. And you, if you're saved, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's an experience that you can't forget. You were dead, you were blind, but now you have life, and now you can see. I don't know to whatever degree, but you know that God has made a difference in your eternal destination. It's not you didn't just decide, you know what, I'm going to get religious today, and I'm just going to just go ahead and keep my religion, and that's going to bring me happiness and joy. I promise you, if you've made that choice, you're not happy and you don't have the joy of the Lord for sure. You've just picked up a ritualistic religious routine. Amen? But if God has made the difference in your life, then you know that you once were dead, but now that you're made alive in him. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3 of chapter 2, among whom also, listen to this, we all had our conversation, our manner of life. Before we got saved, this is how we lived in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So he says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and listen to this, and made us, listen, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is why we're looking at seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this morning, we looked at the armament here in the book of Ephesians in the Sunday school hour, and we considered what Paul was telling the believers, and it's an important truth. You're right here in the book of Ephesians, so let me show you this here. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in your strength, in your might, or in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he gives us a list of armament. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And my goodness, can we ever see it today? All right. So he says, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So now he's telling us to stand, but it's important that we understand where we're standing. Spiritually speaking, are you standing? And what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that the standing just mean attending church? No, standing means our everyday life. What are we standing in? Are we standing in the ways of God or in the ways of the world? And we can be a saved child of God and be standing in the ways of the world. That's why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, saw fit to pen this down and place it in the canon of Scripture, that God's people may be able to understand there's a difference. Everything begins in salvation, but the experience that we can have with God will change our everyday lives. And so verse 14, he says again, stand therefore. Why? Because you're standing in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So this is the loins girt about. This is the belt, the breastplate of righteousness. Listen to the type of armament. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then he says, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench, not most, but all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let me stop right here and have you contemplate just for a moment the peculiarity of all the armament and the weapons that are given to every believer. Listen, the armament and the weapons are for the frontal assault. There is nothing covering the back. Did you pick up on that? There, and somebody said today in Sunday school, well, that means you're not supposed to turn away from the battle. And that's true, but even more important than this, listen, is to understand this, and that is that we are not fighting to get victory. We are fighting from the victory that Jesus Christ has placed us in and that we are sitting in. If you approach your salvation by the idea, these are the things that I must do to attain the victory, well, then you're starting from the wrong place. You're not seated with Christ. Didn't we just see that just a moment ago, that we are seated with Him? So if we're seated with Christ, we're going from victory unto victory, from faith unto the faith. If we are battling to gain the victory, we've misunderstood the Word of God, and we will never have the victory of God because we are doing it ourselves. Now, let me take you back to our text, which is in chapter 2, and let me remind you, verse 6, what God has done. Ready? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up, the saved, together, and made us to what? Sit in heaven, together with the Lord, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, let me illustrate it like this. So let's just say everybody came to church in a vehicle that was gifted to them, right? It was gifted to you. And so somebody bought you, maybe not the car you have out there, but let's just say bought you the car that maybe you always wanted, right? Or at least maybe you don't have a specific car that you want, but a nice car, right? It works, functions, all this. And here's what you did this morning. You got out and you said, I really appreciate what they gave me, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church with my car, but I'm going to push my car to church. I'm not going to sit in there and allow the car that's been gifted to me to do the work. I am going to empower this car to get me to go to church. Now, when you get there, when you get to church, even though it's a little cool out there, do you think you might have a little bit of sweat on your brow? Do you think you're going to have a whole lot to be thankful for concerning that vehicle? Oh, it looks good. You can thank you, I received that gift, but it did absolutely nothing for you because you didn't sit in it and allow it to do the work for you. We are seated in Christ that Christ might be our power and that He might do our work. But see, we're busy pushing everything in order to make it happen. And that's why there's no joy. And that's why there will never be any true victory. And that's why we think we're pushing and we're trying to attain victory when God says, you're starting in victory. Now, what does that mean? Well, when Jesus Christ shed His blood and you received Him as your Savior, you received the righteousness of Christ, not yours. And the reason why you have access to the throne of God as a child of God is because when the Lord looks at you, He sees the blood of Christ applied to your life. We have nothing at all to offer the Lord, but we've received everything. But here's the problem. When we see the problem and we say, yeah, this is really not right in my life, I've got to do better, you're pushing the car again. You're pushing the car. I'd like to do better, but you know, after all, I can't do it, and this is just the way it is. Boy, you're not even pushing the car, you're walking with a big weight on your shoulders that you'll never take off. Until we realize, isn't it better to sit in the car? Who does all the work? Well, you push the gas. And you steer the wheel, but the car moves you, doesn't it? Well, God works in and through our lives. We can say, who led the people of God through the Red Sea? Well, Moses did it, but who opened the sea? Moses would have never been able to lead the people through the sea unless God opened it. And you and I will never be able, and by the way, God won't share His glory with anybody, not even us. Because then we'll just take the credit for it. And so God is wanting us to understand a truth that, believe it or not, is very difficult, because we have this natural instinct to take things into our own hands and to miss the power of God. When we got saved, I hope you have this testimony. When I got saved, I had absolutely nothing to do with it but receive the gift that was extended to me. That's it. I didn't pay for it. I didn't even come up with the idea about God. I would have never come up with that idea. How about you? That God's Son ought to pay for my sins that I might have eternal life. I would have not even come up with the idea. The idea is amazing about the grace of God and Him willing to do that, that we might have eternal life. I would have never dreamed of that idea. But God came up with it for you and I because He loves us. Now, God says, not only do I love you and provided eternal life, but I want you to know that I'm even the power source. We talked about this morning just a little bit about God being the vine and you and I, as saved children of God, being what? The branches. And God bears fruit through the vine or through the branches. That's your life and mine. God has chosen to bear fruit, His fruit, not ours, that He might bear His fruit. And by the way, He wants first fruits through your life and mine. But if we don't understand that, we'll not really believe it, and we'll not call upon the Lord to do it. We'll just keep pushing the car in our own strength and wonder why are we not so excited about the Word of God? Because there's no power. Why don't we look forward and long for the Word of God? Because there's no joy. Why do we find the Word of God not to be exciting? Because we're missing the Lord. Even as a saved child of God? Yes, even as a saved child of God, we can be missing the work of God. And so therefore, that's not really on the forefront of our thinking, because we're missing the Lord. Now, we have to be willing to acknowledge the Lord first in all our ways before He will direct our paths. And so here's what the Lord's saying today. He's saying, I want you to know you're seated together with me and that you're fighting from victory. You're not fighting to gain victory. God has given us victory. And the Lord said, He said, how many of the fiery darts we would be able to quench? Most of them or all of them? Well, how will that come to pass? Because after all, we all know that we can't do it, can't we? I mean, we all know that. We know that we don't have the power to do that. So obviously He said, stand in my power. So we need to look at our lives and say, okay, if these things are not taking place in my life, where is the problem? Is it because we're not trying hard enough? Is it because we tried so hard and we failed that we've just given up? That might be true. But the real problem is we're not looking to the Lord. Here's what we've said. Ready? Doesn't work for me. I love God because He saved me, but the rest of the Bible doesn't work for me. So I'm not going to look for it anymore. Now, is there a problem with the Word of God or with our understanding of what God is wanting to do? We're still pushing the car. And God says, man, I provided... Imagine if somebody gave you a vehicle to drive and they saw you pushing it. What would they say? What would they think, first of all? Is something wrong with the car? Oh, no, the car works fine. What? And you're pushing it? Why are you pushing it? Well, I thought this was the way to do it. Oh, no. Let me show you. You get into the car, you turn it on, and put it in drive, and it will drive for you. And so we look at the salvation that God has given to us, and we say, well, it's not working, so we're pushing it. Well, there's nothing wrong, I promise you, with the salvation that God has given to us. We just don't understand how it works. Or maybe we've come to the place to where we've given up on God and we're not walking in faith. We're not believing the promises of God. So God is wanting us to understand that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given to us victory. He's given to us His righteousness. So here's the question. Do you want to experience... Here's the question. Do you want to experience the Lord like never before? That's a question. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you're just happy with your blessed assurance and don't care about the life-changing power that God wants to bring into the life of every believer. Not most, not some, not just the Apostle Paul or Peter. Like Peter was so perfect. What was Peter without God? He was nothing. The same thing with us. So if we're not seeing anything from the Lord, maybe we just better turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got this wrong because I'm seeing what your word is saying and that's not happening in my life. That would be a good place to start. Lord, I want to see, help me understand what you've done for me. All right? So look with me, if you will, and notice he says, but God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. He didn't give us eternal life that we might flounder. Drop down here to verse 8 and notice that we are God's workmanship. For by grace, verse 8, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we see the gift of God there, right? It's a gift. But wait a minute, it goes beyond the gift. Ready? Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is talking about salvation, and this is talking also about the changed life. Wait, not the changed life, the exchanged life. God's life for ours. So what does that mean? Verse 10. For we are, listen to this, we are his workmanship. Is that truth? Okay. Created in Christ Jesus. That's where salvation came from, right? Is that true? Unto good works. The good works part. That's a little bit of a problem, isn't it? Listen, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, but I can't do that. Nobody ever expected us to. Well, God didn't. But God expected to be the power and the strength that we should walk in them. So if we can't walk in them, and that is the truth, we can't do it, you're pushing the car. Because just like your salvation, just like you walked away knowing you have been forgiven for your sins, is the same way God will bear fruit through your life and mine. And it will happen, and we'll step back, and we'll know we didn't have anything to do with it. We will know that God intervened on our behalf, and that will bring praise and glory to God. Because if you're out there pushing the car, you're going to be bragging about how you pushed the car 5 miles and got it there. Yeah, you're sweating and you're all dirty now, and you look a mess, and you're whipped, and you got no strength now to come in and worship. But bless God, you got the car in the parking lot. And that's where God's people are at. They're defeated. They're distraught. They're dismayed. And they're failing. And they cannot figure out what the problem is. They don't have their eyes on Jesus. And what happened to Peter? When the Lord walked on the water and Peter said, they were all afraid, but Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And what did the Lord say? Now, Peter, you shouldn't have asked me for that. Or did he say, come? Come on, Peter. I believe Peter walked on the water for some time. Maybe not too long, but he walked on the water and then he got his eyes off the Lord. And what did he do? Began to sink. But praise the Lord, he knew where to call. He said, help me, God. Are you walking in the supernatural or are you sinking because you're in the natural? And are you calling out to God to make the difference? Because God wants us to be a peculiar people, does he not? I didn't make that up. That's God's will. Different than what the world is. Do you think there's a whole lot of difference going on between God's people and the world today? I don't see it. I think God wants that to happen. But man, if we're not careful, we're right there with the world. Woe is me. Oh my goodness, what's going on now? I heard, and I don't know much about him. I've listened to him on the radio. I'll just say a radio preacher. And he's saying, we're reading this about the end times, and we're reading about this lady after the end times, and we're reading about this fella after the end times, when we have the Word of God right in our hands. He said, we ought to give less time to being concerned about what other people are saying about the end times and give more attention to what God has said about it, and then just live for Him. And here's the whole idea. Listen, nobody is going to figure it out until it happens. And here's what we're going to say. Here, the purpose of the end times, the purpose of the prophecy, is to believe that what God has said is going to take place and seek Him, enjoy the life, occupy till He comes, and then when it takes place, we'll all praise the Lord because it will happen just like He said it would. And that's what happened in the past. The prophet would say this is going to happen, and when it happened, everybody said, just like God said, praise God. And so the Lord is wanting God's people to put their eyes on Him, not on the world, not on the things of the world, and not on ourselves. Then notice what he says here. Again, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that's God's will. If that's not happening in our lives, then maybe we ought to bring it up before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not walking in the good works that You have ordained. And I need Your help for that, because I can't do it. And God says, that's what I've been waiting for. Because now I can do it, and You won't take the credit. Verse 11, we're made nigh by the blood, past and present. Look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. No hope of what? The good works of God. No hope of accomplishing anything for the Lord. And without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, remember we're seated with Him, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Listen, when God looks at you, He sees the blood of His Son. That gains you acceptance. You know what we think naturally? Well, I need to pray more, read more, and then God will hear me better. No, you've got that wrong. Well, today God's going to be extra favorable to me because I've done a good deed. No, you've still got it wrong. You're still looking to yourself. There isn't anything you can do or I can do to gain acceptance but the blood of Jesus. And if you're saved, you've got it. And if you think you have to do something to gain it, you know nothing or very little of your relationship with the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, you're missing it if you're thinking, I've got to do this, that, and the other to gain acceptance before the Lord. Or I've got a little extra acceptance today because of what I've done. Or maybe you might even go to this part and say, well, I better not ask God for anything because look at my life. Well, when God looks at our life, He sees the blood of the Lord if you're a saved child of God. And He does not love us any less. Now, if there's sin that has interfered in our relationship, we can bring it before Him and He forgives us and casts our sin away. And that, what a God we have. We're made nigh by the blood. And then notice He's our peace. This is accessed by His Spirit. Look at verse 14. For He is our peace who hath made both one. Listen, that means the Son is in us and we are in the Son. Wait. That means the Father is in us and we're in the Father as the Father's in the Son. Is that true? Wait. And the Spirit is in us too. I guess that's the three in one. We've been given the three. He's in us and we're in Him. He's made us one. Are we willing to walk in that truth and be liberated? We think, oh, God is so far away. Really? The Bible says He's in us, and He's made us one with Him. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, verse 14, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We have access to the Holy of Holies, because He indwells us, having abolished, verse 15, in His flesh the enmity, the sin, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's your life if you're a saved child of God. Do you believe that today? God did that. You may not feel like that, but we don't live by feelings, do we? Or do we live by faith in the Word of God? See, that puts a whole new perspective on it. So verse 16, and he, listen, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit. Is it capitalized in your Bible? That's the Holy Spirit. If not, throw it away, get another one. Unto the Father. Unto the Father. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Did he stipulate that access that you have? Did he say, well, if you pray for 30 minutes at least every day, then you have access? If you read your Bible every day, then you have access? What gains you and I access? The blood of Christ. The righteousness of God. Do you ever lose that access? We might feel like we've lost that access if we're walking in sin. Because God is holy and righteous. But even then, you still have access to ask God for forgiveness. That he might set you back up. Because it's by him alone that we stand. Him alone. And then lastly, we are an habitation of God through the Spirit. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's a pretty good foundation, I'd say. I'd say it's unmovable. I'd say it's unchangeable. I would even dare to say it's forever. But are we still pushing the car? And impressed with how we're pushing the car? We can be pretty impressed with ourselves and miss God completely. And him be there for us. Because we are in the household of God. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth. Are we growing? It groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That's what we all are. You and the triune God are a holy temple unto the Lord that is to be growing to be more of a holy temple in the Lord, and are at least being honest enough to say, God, that is or is not happening. And if it's not happening, then if we don't bring it to him, will it ever get fixed? It won't. We'll just look to ourselves. And then lastly, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the what? Boy, I'd say the Holy Spirit's pretty important. I'd say it's pretty important. Now, this whole message, the title of it was that ye, that's the scripture, but that we may know what is the hope of his calling. It's not just eternal life. It's that we would have the power of God, realizing, listen, that we are seated with Christ. And if we're seated with Christ, we can go out and walk, that's our manner of lifestyle, in a way that honors and glorifies him. Not in our power pushing the car, but seated with Christ and allowing him to empower our lives. And then we can stand against the devil. But if you don't know that you're seated with Christ, I promise you, your walk is haywire. And it's going everywhere. And it's not going the way the Lord wants it. But he wants it to go in a specific direction. But we need to be honest and say, listen, I don't really understand what it means to be seated with Christ, that I might be able to stand and walk in the way that would honor and glorify the Lord. And then stand against the things of this world in His power. Because God wants us to know or to experience the hope of His calling in our own lives. So this morning, God gives us an invitation to experience that. The question to us is, will we receive it as saved children? That God might be the difference in our walk with Him to the glory of God, that will flip this world, this church, and this community upside down for the glory of God. And then watch what God will do. So it really is an invitation. We just have to understand and be willing to say this: you know what, I think I missed it. And I've been pushing the car and I'm tired of doing that. So how about I look to the Lord and see what He can do? Would you stand? We don't have music, so we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're just going to take a few moments for either right there where you sit or stand. Or if you need to come forward to the altar, that's between you and the Lord. We'll just have a few moments and then we'll close in prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne today. Lord, we thank You for the full salvation that You've given to us, beginning with eternal life, but then with Your power, because we're seated with You in heavenly places, and You've given to us Your power, the Holy Spirit, to change our lives, that we might walk in Your ways. I pray, Lord, that You would bless us as a church, as Your people, to experience that as You would have us. And then, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they realize and understand their great need. Bless, Lord, Your people, each one that's here today, and we'll praise and thank You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.